it come true. She can heal the sick, make your dreams come true. All you need is her heart and a dose of her love. Take the shot that you have, we'll have a party.
I'm okay.
Drink something. Your laughing coughs aren't helping.
You got been summoned by the sheriff.
Yeah, he summoned me to pay property tax.
His name's Aubrey. That's a girl's name.
Maybe it's a woman.
A woman can't be sheriff, boss.
Well, welcome once again to the Raincoat Report.
Am I wrong? Do they let women run for sheriff now?
Probably.
I've never seen one.
I mean, I don't see a lot of sheriffs.
I got picked up when I was a state trooper. They let ladies be state troopers.
Was it a lady state trooper who picked you up?
No, but I just know they let them be ladies sometimes.
They let them be ladies.
Once they're in, if they would like to transition, it's okay.
Fair enough.
That's. I read a pamphlet while I was at the headquarters.
While you were at HQ?
I don't know, the station. Yeah. But no, there was a pamphlet. You know what was written on that pamphlet?
What?
The name of a podcast that had almost... was almost strangled in the cradle because I could have been in jail forever.
Oh, yes.
And that podcast was the Raincoat Report.
Yes. But thankfully...
It is the Raincoat Report.
Yes. And because of a lack of sufficient legal action, Jeremy is here.
Yeah. They couldn't keep me away from you.
And this is Boss, of course. And
we're bringing up old shit.
We're bringing up old shit because... really, that's all we talk about is old shit.
Yeah, and that's, we love the past. We like to dwell there.
Yes, it helps us forget about the horrors of modern reality.
Yeah, you told me I had to vote. I don't want to.
Well, you need to vote. It matters, especially locally.
Okay, I suppose it does locally. But I don't like when you have to vote for judges. I don't have any business voting for that.
Just vote for whichever one has a name you like the most. If, like, somebody's last name's, like, Dingle or something.
No, that sounds... I believe if someone has a name like that, they're not fit for public office, actually.
Oh, okay. Well, then that should be your guiding light.
But what if none of the names are funny?
I don't know. Probably just gonna have to...
Do you like to vote for the coroner?
Yes, I'm very happy that we can't just let anybody be coroner.
I feel like it wouldn't be just anyone. They would have interviews and someone. I feel like this means anyone can just be coroner. Coroner.
Do you want to be coroner?
I think I would cause a scandal.
Fair enough.
You know what doesn't cause a scandal?
What's that?
The good old-fashioned career, just for girls, of candy striping.
Oh, yeah.
There might have been male candy stripers. The point is, they were gone way before I was born.
That's true. But I would also say that in this case, as we'll get to, there was at least a bit of controversy.
Oh, about candy striping?
About Candy Stripers, the 1978 film by Bob Chin.
Oh, okay. Oh, we're back on the chin?
Oh, yeah, we're on the chin train.
Where's it going?
Straight to Fist Town.
I'd like to get off, please.
So, yes, once again, we're talking about one of the films of the great, illustrious Bob Chin. 1978's Candy Stripers. It is a film that has a bit of notoriety to it. You know, it's famous enough that it has its own Wikipedia page, which many of the films we cover do not.
There's definitely not one for Casanova, too.
No, there is not. But one of the things that it's kind of known for is that it was often cut in its theatrical run and even on home video.
Oh, yeah?
Because there was some controversy due to some scenes with some explicit content that was a bit outside the norm of the era. In particular, two scenes that featured fisting.
Oh, yeah, that great American pastime.
Yes. In fact, even the DVD release has those scenes cut from the feature, though they do appear as special features on the disc.
Seems cowardly to cut them out of the feature itself.
It does, but thankfully, through the hallowed halls of the internet, some fans came to our rescue and restored the film to its original glory by taking those special feature presentations of those sex scenes and editing them into the main feature so that we can watch and review this in its uncut glory.
Mm-hmm. And boy, oh boy, it's uncut, let me tell you.
Yeah.
It's all been reinserted.
It sure has.
And then a little more was inserted.
Yeah, perhaps a bit too much.
Perhaps, as we will see, two hands are not better than one.
Anyhow, this film has a cast that's not up at the, perhaps at the peak of the Bob Chin productions as far as name value is concerned, but there's several notable names here, including but not limited to, on the side of the gentleman in the film, we have Paul Thomas, we have Joey Silvera, a debuting Richard Pacheco, Don Fernando, and someone who I hadn't really noticed before, but was in a brief scene in last week's episode on Casanova 2, that being Rocksteady.
Uh-huh.
And amongst the women, we don't have any of the top name talent, I would say, but we have a bunch of people doing a really great job here. Amber Hunt, Chris Cassidy playing what I think is more or less the lead role of Cindy, Sharon being played by Nancy Hoffman, Sarge played by Sharon Thorpe, and
who she has a bit part in this, but she is in other films. We've seen her, I think, a few times.
Yeah, we've seen her a few times. Phaedra Grant, we've seen a few times.
Yeah, she was in stock footage in last week's film.
Oh, yeah.
Or in some unnamed role, at least.
Yeah. Lauren Black, Eileen Wells.
Eileen Wuornos?
The killer? Eileen Wells.
Oh.
And Mimi Morgan.
From the Drew Carey Show?
Yes. but yeah, Candy Stripers is, it kind of follows the Bob Chin formula of a workplace sex comedy.
Yeah, it's in a similar vein of, Hot and Saucy Pizza Girls.
Right.
Or, Young Like It Hot, that's Bob Chin, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That was also Bob Chin.
They love it hot.
I would say that this has a focus more so on the sex than those films, I would say.
Yeah, this one's it's a little nastier.
It is. In addition to the things that we've already pointed out, there's still, by all means, a bunch of nasty sex here in a good way.
Yeah. He saw a peek into the future in this one.
Yeah, a little peek at the sloppy style of the future.
Yeah, he peels back the veil. Well, he doesn't really peel it back so much as he kind of forces his way into it.
One finger at a time.
Well, yeah, if you're lucky.
Yeah. Well, anything else you want to say about Candy Stripers here in our intro?
Yeah, I didn't know what the hell they were until I watched this movie. I'd always heard the term. And, you know, they're not the people that put the stripes on the candy canes.
No, they are hospital volunteers who...
So they don't even get paid?
That's the implication, yeah.
And they made it sound like they had a great job.
Well, when you love what you do, you never work another day in your life.
Yeah, but you should probably get paid for it still.
Well, at the very least, Sharon got what she wanted, even if she was having her last day there. She kept herself busy.
She sure did.
Really, they all did, as we'll find out.
I guess that's true. But they're volunteers, and they give out cigarettes to the cancer patients, mostly.
Yeah, it was candy and magazines are what are pointed out in this film. But in the past, I'm sure cigarettes were part of it.
That sounds nice. You're laid up in the hospital bed recovering from a heart attack, and you just need to light one up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
like I said, Richard Pacheco made his debut in this film. According to Wikipedia, it says that anxiety over acting in his first film caused him to break out in hives. And during his scene with Nancy Hoffman, he had great difficulty maintaining his erection. But, you know, he got through it, and he would go on to be in many, many more films. So,
you know, yeah,
and good on him.
And you know what? I'll say, relating to this week's Patreon, that's better than some people can really ever claim, you know?
That's true. Yes. So while we're talking about it, patreon.com/raincoatreport for $5 a month. You get 2 bonus episodes every month, including this Friday, where we'll be talking a little bit more about the ex-hamster sex competition series, The Sex Factor.
Yeah, we're rounding the series out. I think we've only got a couple more after this one.
Yeah, I think we'll do one more episode about it.
Okay, well, then,
where we'll cover the last 3 actual episodes.
We'll do a huge... do a huge recap.
Yes.
Everyone will be there. All your favorite guests. Stephanie. Tyler.
Yeah. Let's bring him in.
Sally.
Yep.
Yoshi the cat. John Kassir.
The Raincoat Review.
You know, so don't miss it.
Yes, we will just... I'm not going to promise anybody in particular being on, but we... It'll be coming soon in the next month or so.
It'll be...
But this Friday, we're talking about the... I guess is our penultimate episode on the series.
Yeah, I like that one. You don't get to say it very often.
You don't. You know what else you don't get to say often is the name of one of the last films that Richard Pacheco made. Who Shaved Lynn LeMay?
That's a... You don't get to say that very often.
No. Join us on Patreon, but for now, we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back to talk a little bit more about Candy Stripers.
Last Penetration of Christ. You like that one?
I like that one a lot.
I've been sitting on it since we've been tossing titles back and forth. I wanted that one to be recorded for posterity.
Great.
So that's coming soon.
Yeah, be on the lookout for it. We're going to make it with Tyler.
And Martin Scorsese.
Yes. But for now... we're going to talk a little bit about the work of the great Bob Chin and 1978's Candy Stripers.
People often call him the Asian Scorsese.
They do.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Asian American Scorsese.
Yes.
Asian Scorsese is like a guy whose name I don't know.
Okay, cool. War
Kong guy. Is that a guy? I think that might be a dish.
I think you're thinking of Wong Kar Wai.
Oh, yeah. I think the other thing might be something you get on the menu.
Who did, like, is it In the Realm of the Senses that he did?
Probably.
Chungking Express is what I was thinking of, I think. Anyhow.
Panda Express?
No.
Their food is terrible.
I have never had Panda Express. I'll take your word for it.
I think it gave me diabetes. I don't have it, but I think I tried to.
Fair enough.
It was. I've never had Chinese so sugary. I don't understand what they're doing there.
Oh.
Yeah. Well. It was all far too sweet. Not enough sour. It's called Wabi Sabi.
Well, you know who else is sweet? Are these daggone candy stripers.
You know who's sour?
Who?
They're patients who aren't getting enough Klonopin. I don't know.
So
let's fucking go.
We open on a shot of a fountain and our camera drifts inside where we see some under the covers thrusting going on. And the phone rings. Under the covers is Cindy, who's getting fucked by George. So Cindy, once again, is played by Chris Cassidy, while George is played by Joey Silvera.
Or Joey Nocivera, if you go by the credits of the film itself.
Oh, yes. That's right. And Joey Silvera, just checking for everyone, is still alive.
Okay, we're doing a count. We're on Silvera watch.
Yes.
He's he stepped on a nail, so he's being treated right now at the Ventura County Medical Center. He's getting a tetanus shot.
Well, he's 72 now, or almost 72.
Yeah, you said he was 71 a couple weeks ago.
He's 72 on December 20th, so it's coming up.
He'll make it. I have no doubt about it.
Well,
he's not like the Queen of England or perhaps Joe Biden. He is alive. And I've never thought otherwise. Oh, man. On the way over here, I saw someone's like real bashed up pickup truck, and they had very sloppily just spray painted FJB on the side and just white. That was a shocking display of impotence. Not as cool as Thunder Van.
No, not quite. But someone who's not impotent would be Joey Silvera, here as George.
Yeah.
Or at least not in 1978, for sure.
Alive, not impotent.
So, yeah, he's fucking Cindy under the covers, and Cindy, as the phone rings, tells him not to stop as she answers the phone, noting that she has to get to work soon. On the other end is Cindy's friend, Alice. The cover gets tossed aside, and we see the action going on here. Cindy chats a bit more as we hear George say that he's going to come. So Cindy tells Alice...
It wouldn't press on time.
Cindy tells Alice to hold on a moment, adding, he's going to shoot.
Oh, yeah.
So it's gonna pop. George asks where Cindy wants it, and she tells him her face. So as George is stroking, she says some encouraging words, calling him Jeff, and he mutters back to her, it's George, and talks about wanting to be fucked by five guys. All of that seems to kind of put George off slightly, but he does soon finish on Cindy's face. She tells him that he was good and picks the phone back up, continuing her conversation with Alice with cum on her face. She asks Alice if she heard that and if it made her horny, noting that no one sucks pussy like Alice does. Cindy tells Alice she has to get to work, adding that she's a candy striper, not a stripper, she corrects her, but a nurse volunteer. She says that she doesn't have to give shots or any of that shit, just give them candy and magazines. She tells Alice to call her later this week, adding that tonight she'll be busy. There's a party because one of the girls is leaving. Cindy calls out to George that she'll see him at the hospital later, and we cut to our credits as Cindy makes her way to work. Joey Silvera has a producer title on this as Joseph A. Silvers.
Yeah, he is really trying to like mix it up and try to hide his involvement.
So we see some guys run not, by the...
Not a smart guy. I don't know how he's made it this long.
Some guys run by the nurse's desk with a stretcher, telling the nurses that this is an emergency OD. So the nurses tell them which room to take them to. Then we see Sarge, played by Sharon Thorpe. And she tells the ladies in front of her that she's doing roll call. Cindy asks if this is necessary, noting that there's only three of them plus Sarge. And Sarge notes that she only sees two ladies in front of her. And because of that, she knows someone's missing. Yes. So we're introduced to Cindy and Pam, played by Amber Hunt, who are there. However, Sharon is not there, Sharon being Nancy Hoffman, or AWOL, as Sarge puts it. Sarge says they're going to go find Sharon and that she would do that this morning, the morning of her last day.
Yes.
Cindy checks in with a patient asking if she's seen Sharon. She hasn't, but asks for Cindy to come back later. This patient here being Laura Rogers, played by Phaedra Grant.
Over here, I noted in my notes, where I note such things, that during the credits, the title, it says that the title song is available on Innocent Records.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm scouring Discogs to see if I can find, like, a copy
of it
in some form. I'm going to keep looking. You tell us what's going on. But I just wanted people to note my silence. There's also a bunch of YouTube videos of the songs.
Excellent.
Yeah. Oh, and just something about one of the other songs later.
Okay.
We'll get to it as we get to it.
While opening doors to look around for Sharon, Sarge is shocked to open a door and find that Sharon is there sucking the cock of Dr. Bishop, played by Richard Pacheco. Sarge shuts the door and gets all judgmental. As she hears Sharon moaning, she says, "Don't talk with your mouth full." In the room, Dr. Bishop says, "I wish she were leaving today instead of you." Outside, Sarge yells, "When are you coming out here?" And Sharon says, "After he comes in here." Sharon continues to suck Dr. Bishop's cock. We then see George meet up with Cindy and Pam, asking them what's going on. They inform him that Sarge caught Sharon in the linen closet with one of the doctors. Cindy says, "Georgie Porgy, puddin' in pie, kiss my tits and lick my thigh." And George compliments her poetry. Sharon keeps sucking Dr. Bishop's cock, and she finishes him off as Dr. Bishop yells not to get any on her uniform. And she doesn't, wiping it all over her chin. Cindy asks George if he's going to the party later, and he tells her he can't because he has a date with Pam later. Pam, outside, asks Cindy if it's okay if they use her apartment later, and Cindy says it's fine as long as they pull back the covers because she doesn't want spots on her bedspread. George splits and Sharon rejoins the crew. Sarge makes them line up their carts of goodies. Sarge yells at Sharon, noting she's lucky it's her last day, and the ladies volunteered to cheer up the patients, not the doctors. There's a call for Dr. Bishop on the PA, and Sharon goes to the nearby nurse's desk and picks up the phone. She tells the person on the other end that Dr. Bishop's on his way. He's cleaning up for surgery. She adds, "He's coming," and then rewords it, "He's on his way." Sarge sends the candy stripers out now. There's work to be done. So we begin by seeing Pam visit a patient named Tom Marshall, played by Rocksteady.
Yes, who looks like Sonny Bono dressed as Ron Jeremy.
I can see that.
Yeah.
She asks how he's doing, and he tells her not too bad. "He learned how to do it with the other hand last night," he says, making a jack-off motion with his hand. Pam tells him to stop. She says he's going to take her mind off of her work. He says he doesn't want to get her mind off. He wants to get her uniform off. Pam apparently smuggled in a porn magazine for Tom. She tells him not to let anyone see it so she doesn't get in trouble, and not to get it wet or sticky because she borrowed it from a friend. He tells her he better not read it until after he gives his sample. Pam tells him he should go to the bathroom, and Tom tells her that he could, but he gets really dizzy when he stands up still. Pam says she can help him then, noting that she took this job to get experience so that she could be a real nurse one day anyway. So Pam picks up a beaker and puts it down near his lap, kind of out of frame. She says stuff like this doesn't bother her, and besides, she really wanted to see what he looked like down there. So we see her pull away the beaker, now with some pee in it.
Yep, she knows a little dribble.
She knows that he's still dribbling, and he says he'll wipe it on the sheets, but she says, "Don't you dare," and says that she'll bring him some toilet paper. She suggests that Tom should meet Cindy. She's always making up poems. We see Pam dabbing Tom's penis with toilet paper. She asks if he's dry, and he tells her to keep drying it. Pam shares Cindy's dirty poem from earlier about George. Tom brings up that Pam had mentioned earlier that she wanted to see what he looked like down there. Pam mentioned that Nurse Allen had said that he had a good one. Pam then starts to stroke Tom's cock and says that she hopes no one comes in. Tom says when he was doing it with the other hand last night, he was just imagining her. He says he imagined she came in and pulled up her dress and wasn't wearing any panties. Then she took her ass and put it on his face, and he kissed all over her ass and licked up and down her ass crack. Pam says he's getting her horny and asks if she gets up on the bed, will he do it? He says, do what? Say it. She says, suck my ass. He asks if she really wants him to, and she says that she loves it and can never get anyone to do it. Climb up here, honey, he says. Back at the nurse's station, there's a fruit basket delivery for Laura Rogers from Stella.
And it's full of bananas.
Yes. They note that it's not from her husband. One of the other nurses says to the other that Stella must really know what Laura wants. These bananas are long and thick. Yeah, the nurses here who will get to meet more are Nurse Reynolds and Nurse Allen. Nurse Allen asks Nurse Reynolds if she likes a good banana. Nurse Reynolds says, only when I'm hard up. Nurse Reynolds notes that Nurse Allen is sitting there with a weird expression on her face. As Nurse Reynolds circles the desk, she sees that under the desk, Sharon's going down on Nurse Reynolds.
What? That's why she was late.
Or actually, Sharon's going down on Nurse Allen.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. There's too many nurses. There's too many candy stripers.
But Nurse Reynolds tells Nurse Allen, you girls have got some guts. Nurse Allen says she doesn't know about her guts, but Sharon sure has some tongue. We see a bit more oral before Nurse Reynolds tells them Sarge is coming. Sarge comes up to the desk and says it's bad enough to have two girls and three carts, but now she only has one girl, with only Cindy following her over. Nurse Allen moans a bit, and Sarge asks what's wrong with her as we cut to Sharon continuing to go down on her. Sarge says she thinks Sharon might be leaning towards nymphomania. Nurse Reynolds responds, who doesn't? Sarge says Sharon seems to want to do anything with anyone at any time. One of the nurses mentions she might have seen Sharon down by the elevator. Cindy adds she thought she heard Sharon was going down. The nurses suggest that Cindy take the fruit basket to Laura Rogers, and Sarge says she might as well, so Cindy takes off with the basket. As Sarge takes off, she tells Nurse Allen, keep my girls busy, keep them working. Nurse Allen repeats to herself, keep my girls busy, keep them working. She looks down to her lap. You heard her. Back to work. Cindy carries the fruit basket into Laura Rogers' room, offering candy, magazines, and vibrators. You're kidding, Laura says. Vibrators? Cindy says she is kidding, but she's trying to cheer her up. Laura said those bananas look interesting. Cindy says they look yummy for her tummy. Laura says she wasn't thinking about them in her tummy. Maybe somewhere lower than that.
Like her butt?
Laura mentions she feels better, but the doctor wants to keep her for another day, noting he seems to be always examining her down there, even when she has a sore throat. Cindy steps out. Laura says, "You're not leaving, are you?" And Cindy tells her that she is, but she'll be back after her rounds.
This hospital doesn't seem to be on the up and up.
No. Like most places in the 70s that Bob Chin takes us.
Yeah. Everyone was just on so many different drugs that you could just act as unprofessionally as you want, and there's a good chance no one would remember it from day to day.
Yeah. We cut to Tom's bed, where Pam is on top of him and they're 69ing. He's licking both her pussy and ass. After a bit, we see them make out, and Pam mounts Tom cowgirl and begins to ride his cock. He licks and sucks her nipples a bit as she continues to bounce away to a pretty awesome 70s rock track, complete with guitar solo.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, he pulls out and strokes, coming on Pam's ass. Nurse Allen approaches Nurse Reynolds at the nurse's desk. She asks if one of the patients got their shot, and Nurse Reynolds says, "Shots are a pain in the ass." And then we cut away to see that now Sharon is going down on Nurse Reynolds. They whisper that someone's coming, and we see a woman walk through, asking the nurses if it's okay, and they tell her yes, adding that they're sure he'd appreciate the company. There's no context to this at the time, but we would soon learn. Nurse Allen mentions Sharon should get to know this woman who walked by because she saw her sucking this guy's cock last week. They suggest maybe they should invite her to the party later, as they were already inviting him.
Can the patients just leave the hospital to go to a party?
I mean, the party is in the hospital.
Oh, yeah. Well, can the patients just leave their room to go party?
When the nurses are at the party and invite them.
That doesn't seem right.
I mean, probably not officially, but...
I never got to party with the patients. Mine were all pretty crazy.
Yeah.
We had our own fun. You know, we did a lot of arts and crafts.
Well, we cut to Tom going down on Pam, licking her ass more as well. He fingers her a bit as she's bent over, first with one finger, and then two, then three. Next thing you know, he's working the full fist in there.
He sure is.
First up to the knuckles, and I thought that was as far as it was going to go, but indeed a bit further.
Yeah, you were wrong.
She lays on her back, and he works his fist back in, this time finally getting wrist deep. He pushes and pulls his fist back and forth a bit, and Pam grabs his arm and holds onto it to fuck herself with his fist.
All to a song, presumably about fisting.
Oh, yeah.
Called It Hurts.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And this song is apparently by an artist named Michael Thompson. Not familiar with him. Could be one of the Thompson twins.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, but it is an excellent... rocking soul guitar track.
Yes.
With excellent lyrics about how it hurts. Ooh, it hurts.
Yeah. So this continues for a few minutes with things settling down to a slower kind of grinding back and forth of her hips on this fist. So then we cut to the him and her that were vaguely talked about earlier. So this is Frank Lane, one of the patients, played by Paul Thomas.
Perverted porno zones.
And indeed, he has made a perverted porno zone of his room as he's visited by Kitty Powell, played by Eileen Wells, who is the woman who walked past the nurse's desk.
Ah, yes.
Kitty asks how long Frank has to stay there, and Frank says that they'll need to do a few more tests, but he wants to go home. He's been so horny. Kitty says it's been hard on her, and Anita, too.
Yeah.
Last night, Anita was writhing around playing with herself even after Kitty ate her. Frank says the thing he misses the most is the taste of pussy. Kitty asks, doesn't he miss fucking her? And he says, sure, but not as much as eating her. Frank says the other day, a student nurse came in and jerked him off. Kitty says, no shit? He says she was just giving him a sponge bath and he got hard, and she didn't miss a beat. She just grabbed it and got him off. Frank tells her that he wants to taste her pussy. She says she could play with herself a bit and let him lick her fingers. So she pulls her dress up a bit and slides down her panties. She plays with herself while Frank tells her to get her fingers nice and wet. She lets him taste her fingers and goes back to playing with herself more, just as Sharon walks in. Sharon apologizes for interrupting, but Frank and Kitty aren't offended. Sharon has brought Frank a drink, noting that he can use the straw if he wants something to suck on. He tells her he had something else in mind to suck. Sharon talks to Kitty a bit, who mentions that she heard about Sharon stroking Frank the other day. Sharon says it's cool that she's not the jealous type of wife. And Frank corrects her. This isn't his wife. It's his wife's girlfriend.
I get it. They're all swingers. So then Thomas is always up to some kind of shenanigans.
He sure is.
What do you think he's in the hospital for?
Probably got kicked in the dick several times when he was pretending to be a psychiatrist.
Yeah, I think he probably got kicked in the, yeah, the dick. And the balls. And there's probably something stuck in his butt, too.
Oh, yeah. I didn't think about that, but you're probably right.
Yeah. He's quite the pervert.
Yes, he is. Speaking of perverts, we cut to Laura Rogers, who's fucking herself with a banana in her hospital bed.
Yes. And we all knew this was coming from the moment we saw the bananas.
Yes.
And they said bananas about six times in that one scene.
Yeah. There's a knock at the door, and then Sarge marches in as Laura covers herself. Laura asks Sarge if she's missing her girls again, and Sarge says she is, and asks if any have been in there. Laura tells her not lately. She offers Sarge something from her fruit basket, and Sarge picks up a banana. Laura asks if she wants an orange instead, noting that's her last banana.
I saw a video of a lady putting orange in herself once, and I didn't care for it.
I have also seen that.
Did you care for it?
I had middling thoughts about it.
It was fascinating to watch.
Yes.
But, you know, I don't want anyone I know to do that.
I think that it's probably a poor health decision, as it's something that could lead to a hospital trip real quick.
Yeah. Maybe you, like, go ahead and, like, kind of peel it. Someone can just pull it out in slices in an emergency.
But, you know, we've seen lots of insertions. Like, you know, I've seen a Nerf football.
We saw a mini bowling pin.
Oh, yes, we did, with that clown.
Ha!
Just check out Patreon if you want to learn more.
Yeah, let's all learn about clowns.
Cindy walks into the room with Nurse Allen, and Nurse Allen asks Sarge to help her with something as Cindy explains that she has to give Laura a sponge bath. Nurse Allen and Sarge leave, and Cindy pulls away Laura's covers to reveal the banana in Laura's vagina. Laura is embarrassed, but Cindy is reassuring. She tells Laura not to take it out. She'll do it for her. Cindy notes that not even a big cock can match that banana. She pulls the banana out and begins to go down on Laura, sticking her finger in Laura as she licks her clit. We then cut to Sharon going down on Kitty in Paul Thomas's room. Kitty says that Sharon's really good, but she liked to see her tits. So Sharon unbuttons her blouse to unveil her breasts before continuing to go down on Kitty. Sharon then starts to push her fingers and then her entire fist into Kitty.
Let's say when the film quality dropped. That was an alert.
Yes.
And followed none too soon.
Yes. Frank caresses Sharon's arm as she fists away. This goes on for a few minutes as Kitty massages her clit. And before long, we get a cut and see that Sharon has gotten a second fist inside Kitty.
Yep. Paul says, don't lose your watch.
Yeah. Frank plays with Kitty's clit and makes out with her as this continues for a bit here. Eventually, Sharon pulls her fists out of Kitty, and she kisses and licks Kitty's clit a bit.
This is less of like a pornographic act, and more of a, like, an instructional film on how to, like, birth a calf.
We then cut to Frank making out with Kitty as he starts to fuck Sharon doggy style. Kitty plays with Frank's balls as he fucks away. After a bit, Frank pulls out and then enters Kitty, fucking her doggy style anally. Frank hammers away for a while, grabbing her hair for leverage. Sharon gets underneath them, licking Kitty's clit. Eventually, Frank pulls out, finishing on Kitty's ass and Sharon's face and neck. We cut to a shot of Sharon's clothes on the floor and see this trio cuddling in the hospital bed. Kitty asks what's next, and Sharon says she has to get back to work, noting that this is her last day after all.
I hope she washes her hands before she gets back to work. There's an interview on the disc that I didn't get a chance to watch.
Yeah.
I wonder if Bob Chin explains why he's like, I'm going to include not one, but two fisting scenes in this otherwise fairly tame workplace pornographic film.
I don't know. I think that on
I also
the,
have his biography. I'm sure I could have probably found it.
I'm sure
there.
It comes up. I feel like it was mentioned in the interview he did on the Rialto Report. I'm pretty sure I heard him talking about it, but it was years ago, and I don't remember the details.
Maybe he'd seen some of like the rougher stuff that had been coming out, and he's like, you know what? I'm going to try my hand at that.
Yeah.
He saw Water Power, and he's like, you know what? I can do better. The two fists is a lot. Two hands inside one person.
Yeah.
It seems like a lot.
It sure does.
You ever had a hand inside anyone?
Not a whole hand, no.
You ever had a hand inside of you?
No, not a whole hand.
You ever see that big rubber fist they sell at the like truck stop porno place?
Yes, and I've seen it at other porno places as well.
What an item.
It's quite something.
I don't want that in me.
Me neither.
Okay. Well, I guess we're against being fisted.
I'm not against people's right to be fisted, but I'm against me being fisted.
Yeah, I don't think you have the right to fist me. You know, your right. Your rights end where my butthole begins.
I do have small hands for what it's worth.
You do. You would obviously, I think between the two of us, I think you would have a more successful career as a fister.
Yes, Mr. Fister.
Yeah, my hands are, they're not especially huge, but they're big enough. And I think most people, you wouldn't want to get like hit by one of these, and I don't think you want one of it like in you.
Yeah. Anyhow, as Sharon is getting dressed, she tells them about the party later. And we cut back to Cindy with Laura. They're now 69ing on the hospital bed, and this continues for a few minutes here before we cut to Cindy redressing. Laura mentions that she really does need a bath now, and Cindy invites Laura to the party later, which they're having at the hospital. Cindy adds that normally they have parties at her place, but tonight she lended it to Pam and George. Then we cut to Cindy's place, where Pam and George are making their way in. Pam goes to the bathroom while George gets naked and climbs under the covers. Pam tells him he moves awfully quickly and adds that this wasn't what she had imagined. She was wanting something more romantic. George invites her into bed and they cuddle a bit. Pam tells him to take off his socks and he tells her his feet are cold.
She hates wool socks.
Yeah, so he takes his socks off, leading Pam to complain about his feet being cold. She warms them between her legs as they talk about liking each other since the first time they met. Meanwhile, back at the hospital, Cindy and Nurse Allen meet up. Cindy says she'll join in on the party soon, but she needs to get some air first. So we see Nurse Allen join the party, where Dr. Bishop gets dragged in by another nurse, just as the ladies are surrounding Sharon. Sarge walks in asking what's happening, and they explain that this is Sharon's going away party. Sarge is hesitant to join in, but they convince her. After all, she's off work. Sharon then asks Sarge how long she's been a prude, which offends Sarge. who then throws off her glasses and says, "I'll show you a prude," grabbing Sharon's head and pushing it between her legs.
Yeah.
Sarge tells them to get the party started.
Yeah. It's good that, you know, she went from being a hard ass to a nerd, and now she's like a hard ass nerd, but now she's like sexy.
Yeah.
Classic 80s move, but
yeah, a little early. You have to do is take your glasses off.
Yeah. Bob Chin perfected that one.
Yeah.
And John Howard Hughes?
John Howard Hughes.
John Howard Hughes stole it from him for his films.
We cut to George in bed with Pam. George is being very timid as he asks Pam to indulge in a fantasy of his. He's beating around the bush a bit without saying what he wants until he finally gets it out. "I want to suck your asshole." As we establish, Pam is into this, so she smiles and exclaims, "George!" And they embrace.
Aw.
How romantic.
Yeah.
We cut back to the party with, there's like this pulsating red light against some green backlight that's almost like a dim Bava situation.
I was going to say that. It has a sort of an eerie feeling. I guess they're like in an operating theater or a room or something.
Yeah.
Either way, this environment is no longer sterile.
No, not at all.
No.
I don't know how much work would have to go into re-sterilizing this, but it would not be a one-person job.
No, it would take a lot. And there's also like a song that's playing throughout.
Okay.
Where I don't quite know what they're saying. It sounds like they're saying "Hoogie Boogie Baby" all night long.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah.
Yeah. And then there's screaming, and I'm not sure if it's in the song or if it's like people coming.
Oh,
in
yeah.
The film. Either way, "Hoogie Boogie" on down. Get us going again.
We see some shots of oral sex around the room. Cindy's laying back in a sex swing as Dr. Bishop eats her out from below and someone else is going down on him.
Now, I think that's not quite a sex swing. It's what's being used for. I think that's one of those things they use to like move like real heavy patients.
Oh, that might be.
Or like people when they're like out of it from like one area to another. That's they have to clean that too. So concerned with cleanliness.
Sarge is going down on Sharon as she leans back in a wheelchair. Tom and Nurse Reynolds are 69ing. Nurse Allen's receiving oral from some guy. One of the ladies is fingering a guy's ass for a second. Tom's eating a lady out as she's bent back onto her shoulders, ass in the air. Frank's getting a double BJ. We start circulating through the room, seeing some fucking now. There's sucking and fucking all around. No chance of keeping track of all of it.
Yeah, my notes. I wrote that I've lost track.
Yeah.
But I'm just glad that everyone's having fun.
A couple of ladies finish off Frank with their hands and mouths. The guy fucking Nurse Reynolds fucks her pretty hard for a bit and pulls out and comes as she strokes him off onto her side, sucking him a bit more.
I think at this point in the orgy, the song has changed from the last one to some very jammed out sounding sexy Yankee Doodle
song. Oh, yeah, yeah.
What is that?
I don't know, but I do recall that. Dr. Bishop's fucking Laura Rogers and pulls out, thrusting his cock against her stomach as he comes. Nurse Allen is sucking Tom's cock and finishes him off. We cut back to George fucking Pam in Cindy's bed. He's giving it to her missionary position a bit, which we get in a shot in a mirror that pulls back to show them from the reverse angle. He continues to lay some pipe for a minute here before pulling out and coming on Pam's pubes, and they make out a bit more. We cut back to the party, and the ladies of the orgy all surround Sarge, who's laying back on an exam table. They all caress her and kiss and lick her. One of the ladies straddles Sarge's face. One of the ladies goes down on her as the rest continue to play support roles, touching, kissing, and licking her. The ladies switch places here and there in this pile of flesh. Dr. Bishop is sitting there in a wheelchair with a bottle of liquor in his hand and a mask and a canister of gas in his lap.
Yeah,
he's commenting on watching the ladies, but I can't make out a word as he's slurring a speech.
Yeah, he's gotten to the nitrous. He's having a real goddamn good time, I'm sure.
We cut to Sarge making the ladies march the hallways the next day. We see the new Candy Striper reporting for duty at the nurse's station. They tell her where to go, and the nurses point out her great tits and mentions if she's anything like Sharon.
Look at those tits.
If she's anything like Sharon, she'll fit in just fine. We cut to the new candy striper dropping her clipboard. She bends over to pick it up, and we get a shot of her ass through her sheer white panties and freeze frame on a close-up of this as we get our credits set to our candy striper's theme.
Mm-hmm. And she's British.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't like it. I don't like that there are foreigners coming here and taking all our candy striper jobs.
Taking all our unpaid jobs.
Yeah. They're coming here and taking all of our volunteer work. And it's leaving just bored people with nothing to do.
And thus, that was the candy stripers.
And this was also kind of a documentary probably about why we don't have candy stripers anymore.
Probably.
The industry was rife with abuse.
Yes, after the lawsuits erupting from the unsanitary operating room.
Yeah, once that came out, it was all over.
Yes. But yeah, that was candy stripers, and this is where we take our break. And we'll be back to give our final thoughts on candy stripers.
In a sense, like the opposite of the Inuits. You don't have 50 words for snow.
No.
You have one word that represents 1,000 words. And that word is interesting.
Yes. Interesting, like hard soap, hard soap.
Hard soap, hard soap.
And or, interesting, like candy stripers.
Or any of the other numerous Bob Chin films.
Right.
We've seen. I'm working on the Chin scale currently. I'm trying to develop like a quality system to kind of assess his films by, the way I've started with our dear friend Carlos Tobolina.
Yeah.
But it's going to be like, it's going to be kind of like a visual scale, and it's going to be like a big fat guy.
Okay.
And the more chins he has, that's the higher I rate it. It goes up to 5 chins.
Fair enough.
He's just a big, he's real heavy. At that point. And when he start out, he's kind of, he grows too. His body size grows. When he's, he starts out normal, by the end, he's like a big sumo wrestling man.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, that's still under development, and I will allow you to rate this in chins if you choose to,
yeah.
But for now, it's time once again for just
the raincoat review.
This is a, this is one hell of a film.
It's quite something.
It's up there on the chin scale, I would say. I think I would probably rate it maybe the same amount of chins as Stars, but we'll get there.
Okay.
As we mentioned at the top, this is one of his sort of mini workplace comedy porno films.
Yeah.
As he loves, we mentioned The Young Like It Hot, Hot and Saucy Pizza Girls, and a disco lady, because being a disco lady is a job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's the one with Hypatia Lee where they're in the, like, gym.
Oh, is that Body Girls?
Body Girls, yeah.
Well, there's Let's Get Physical and Body Girls.
Yeah, Let's Get Physical, I think, is the dancing one.
Yes, that's the dancing one. But, yeah, she...
Where Paul Thomas is sad because his legs don't work.
God damn.
That one's a little bit more melodramatic. Body Girls is more of a comedy.
Yeah. Yeah. Doesn't he play a sad song on the piano?
Yes.
Okay. Sorry. Let's get back to Candy Stripers.
How many chins does Let's Get Physical get?
I think I gave it maybe 4 chins.
Okay.
Yeah. That's a big guy. This one is a. It was released and probably filmed the same year as Hot and Saucy Pizza Girls, which is undoubtedly a 5 chin film.
Yeah.
But
I think Hot and Saucy Pizza Girls gets more chins than a Chinese phone book, for sure.
I made that joke last time we did this. Well, I didn't make that exact joke, but I said that, well, they know what I said.
Yeah. Damn it.
It's good, though. It never gets old.
No. I've watched it recently, and it aged like fine wine.
It aged like delicious cheese.
Yes, a delicious cheese pizza that you leave on your counter for a weekend.
Yeah. It's a long weekend. But this film is not that film.
No.
That film, I think, has a lot more overall charm to it. There's a lot more character to it, the film.
There's a lot more of a 6-foot chicken.
There's a lot more of a 6-foot chicken, and that's really... If your film doesn't have that, it's going to pale in comparison, I think. For whether that's fair or not, I don't care. But this one, I would say, it feels like almost a rough draft of Hot and Saucy Pizza Girls in a way.
Yeah.
A lot of the same elements are there. You've got your hot and horny cast.
Yeah.
You get into all kinds of situations in this hospital, but it just doesn't feel... I don't know, quite as developed or fleshed out overall as that film.
Yeah.
There are maybe a few reasons for that. One definite one that strikes me, and maybe it's purely aesthetic, is having all 3 candy stripers be just blonde girls. It made it a little difficult to keep up with them, to differentiate them, fearing all the sucking and fucking that goes on in this film.
Yeah. They do have name tags, but with the low-resolution DVD we were watching, there was no real way to keep track of those.
I tried to mark their hairstyles as best I could.
Pam has a bit darker hair than the other two.
Yeah, and one of them has curlier hair, but that's all besides the point. I think the people they run into in this case... if we are going to compare it to Hot and Saucy Pizza Girls, just aren't as interesting.
Fair enough.
They're not the stakes of the film where they existed as they exist in Hot and Saucy Pizza Girls just aren't there either.
There are multiple conflicts in Hot and Saucy Pizza Girls. There are.
There's really nothing in here except maybe with Sarge. And even that is resolved very quickly, which is fine. It's porno, but
right.
There's just no other kind of like drama or driving force to it that really propels it forward. But it does succeed at being like just a dirty fuck fest. There's a lot of nasty sex in this one, and it's mostly pretty well shot. And I got to say, I was very surprised to see the fisting. I had no idea about that before I went in.
Yeah.
That was... I was cackling in delight. Sally looked very uncomfortable. When that song kicked in about the fisting, yeah. It was just pure joy. It brought me the same joy as the best of Bob Chin.
Fair enough.
But this one, I would say, it's above a few of his other films. I like it more than something like Body Girls and Heart Soap, as we mentioned. At least based on... without going back and rewatching those films and just kind of remembering my general impression. I had fun watching this one. It was an erotic delight. I would give it 3.5 chins.
Okay.
He's hit the gym recently.
Fair enough.
Yeah. And I guess 3.5 stars as well.
Yeah.
I think I had originally considered giving it 4, but... The characterizations and the narrative are just kind of so flimsy that I just don't feel as involved in it as I do in other films. So I know it's something he's very well capable of.
Sure.
But they can't all be total winners.
And, yeah.
I would say definitely check this one out if you are ready to be shocked.
Yeah.
Amused and a little aroused.
Yeah.
Boss, I'm going to throw it over to you for Chin Chat.
Chin Chat. Well, on this episode of Chin Chat, I'm going to talk a little bit about my feelings on Candy Stripers, and they're pretty similar to yours. I would say that it's fun in the sense that it's just one of those whimsical workplace comedies. Mm-hmm. You know, the fact that it doesn't try to be serious works for it because, you know, it's
right,
not
yeah.
really...
It's fine for it to be silly. The conflicts in it can be silly, too, though.
Yeah.
But they should be...
Present.
Present.
Yes. Yes. And if you're keeping track of things, Hot and Saucy Pizza Girls, they were fighting for the survival of their business, trying to take down the people who run Chinese restaurants.
Yes.
That were run by white guys. Whereas this restaurant, of course, is being run by an Asian American man, Bob Chin himself.
And John Holmes.
And John Holmes.
Spitting gum into the pizza crust.
Yeah. I don't imagine that he has any real input on the leadership of this business, other than his random salami deliveries.
Yeah. Oh, and also they're under investigation by John Seaman.
Yeah, they are under investigation by John Seaman. That's the second one. And okay. Also the third one is that the ladies keep being abducted and assaulted by the San Francisco Night Chicken.
Yes. Who is also maybe perhaps in cahoots with the Chinese.
Yes, and at the end of the film, perhaps also the investigator.
Yes. What a tangled web. This film doesn't have half of that.
No, it doesn't at all. But what it does have is a lot of nasty sex. We've got anal sex, lots of oral sex, two fisting scenes, including a double fisting with different women.
I was surprised.
Yeah, I thought it would be one woman who was like, hey, I'm the fisting girl.
Yeah.
And it was two women who got fisted in this film.
They probably tried to convince the other woman to get two hands up in her, but she's like, no fucking way.
Yeah. And good on her for that.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've got Paul Thomas here who isn't pretending to be a psychiatrist or anything, but, you know, he's still kind of dirty in his role.
Yeah, he had
dirty talking and... Joey Silvera's here playing a good boy in this one.
Yeah, he is a good boy.
I mean, he's, you know, horny and filthy, but generally speaking, he's a good guy, and he has a romantic ass-sucking scene with the girl.
Yeah, that's important. It's lovely.
I would say that overall, yeah, this film lacks the best of Bob Chin's storytelling. But it's good enough. It's more than adequate storytelling.
Yeah.
There are some fun sight gags and goofy jokes here and there about coming and going.
Yeah,
and
it doesn't... The comedy part of it, I think, definitely delivers.
And the sex scenes are varied. And while some of them go on maybe a little bit too long and there's a bit too much focus on some of the sex scenes in the film... I mean, it's still a delight to watch. I would give this 3.5 chins and stars as well.
Excellent. Well, you know, that was something else.
It was something else. That was the Candy Stripers and Bob Chin. Good on you, mate.
All right.
Yeah, so once again, follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Raincoat Report, raincoatreport@gmail.com. We already told you about the Patreon, patreon.com/raincoatreport. And, you know, if you're going in to get surgery done, make sure that they've actually sanitized the area because you might get an infection. And if all else fails, just wear your raincoat in.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's enough to keep you from getting an infection, but at least, you know, you won't get... It didn't a scrape in your back or anything.
They're going to sew that raincoat to you.
Maybe we should get a campaign started to get people to get their raincoat sewed to them.
I think that couldn't hurt.
Yeah, it's good for you.
It is good for you to always have little extra layer just in case things get wet.
Yes.
She's the doctor of love. She's the girl that comes through. She can heal the sick. Make your dreams come true. All you need is her arm and a dose of her love. Take the shot that feels hot.